This is the Complete Shooter Podcast with your hosts, Jesse Armistead, and the founder of Complete Shooter himself, Kirk Miles. Complete Shooter is dedicated to helping young players reach the next level and achieve all of their basketball dreams. So if you want to know what it takes to be a great player at the high school, college, and professional level, you are in the right place. Welcome to another episode. Today we are talking about watching game film and how that can help your game. So as always, I have Kirk here with me, and we're going to talk about this stuff today, and it's going to be really good. So welcome again, Kirk.
Yeah, it's good to be here. This is going to be a fun topic to talk about. Game film. In my day when I played, there really wasn't much game film even being done.
I was going to ask you about that, if that was even a thing when you were coaching.
No, I don't remember. I remember when I was coaching at the high school level, I filmed every game, yeah. And I'd go back and watch every game. But when I played, I don't ever remember any film being done when I played. Of course, they would have had to have the reel-to-reel back right. In my day. So,
right.
So it probably didn't work out.
The projector screen.
Yeah, projector screen, all that stuff. So,
anyways, with technology today, it's easier than ever to be able to have game film. And one of the things about this last season during COVID is we got to see a lot of games streamed, which was kind of cool. I got to watch pretty much all of the Olympus games were all streamed, so that was nice to be able to do, and I could go back and watch it later. So I got to watch a lot of games I wouldn't have been able to otherwise. So cool thing.
Yeah. I think because of COVID, I think people got more used to doing that kind of stuff over this last year than they ever have.
Yeah.
So I think it kind of helped force people into more technology.
That's true.
I think from that standpoint, that's a positive.
Had to teach the grandparents how to get on YouTube.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So talking about game film, what is the purpose of watching game film?
Well, you know, you can always learn when you watch game film. You can learn watching yourself. You can watch your tendencies. You know, so I think it's good to go in there and really analyze. And you know, the higher you get up in playing, from high school to college to pros, that game film becomes more and more and more important.
Yep.
So that, you know, you can identify things that you're doing that you need to change. And so I think it can be very, very helpful.
Cool. And I remember, tell me if I'm wrong, but I remember you saying a couple of years ago, you were talking about how when you're young, the focus should be on skill development, right? And then the older you get, as you get into the NBA, it's less about developing your skills and more about reading situations and knowing when to do what. Is that right?
Yeah, because basketball becomes the faster the game goes, the more you've got to be reactive without having to think. And so it's just a matter of doing things repetitively so that when you get in those situations, you already, it's an automatic what you're going to do without having to think about it. Because as you notice, like you go to a rec game, and then you go to a comp game, and then you go to a junior high game, then you go to a high school game, and then you go to AAU games, and then you go to college, and then pros. At every level you go to, in all of those levels, the game speeds up.
Yep.
At every level. And that's the hardest thing to get used to, is that speed.
Right.
And I think it's even more important to be reactive.
And I think there's plenty of examples of kids that I can think of, a few kids I played against in like my freshman, sophomore years that – when they got to be seniors, when they were freshmen, sophomores, they were 15, 20 points a game. And then as they kept getting up into varsity level, they just weren't able to handle that speed. And it wasn't that their skills were worse, but the speed of it kind of caught up to them and they weren't quite ready for it. And so I think that's a big thing.
Yeah, that speed is a game changer. It really is. And kids that get used to that, then the better they do, you know. But it's a thing where you have to adapt. and watching game film can really help you with that adaption.
So yeah, so it definitely helps. How, like, what should you be looking for when you watch film to kind of help you with that speed?
Well, I think that you can break your film down to offensive and defensive, right? So on the offensive side, you can identify looking for missed opportunities. That's really valuable. Missed opportunities where on game film you see, well, that I should have made that move there instead of doing what I did. So on an offensive standpoint, you're looking for what you did and what worked and what you did that didn't work and what missed opportunities you had.
Yeah.
Right? So on offense, I think those are the three things that you're looking for when you're watching game film. And then on defense, it's, you know, like we've always said, defense is heart and hustle.
Yep.
And you'll be able to identify, am I working hard enough?
Yep.
Most of the time on defense, you're not working hard enough, and you can watch yourself away from the ball. And what are you doing away from the ball?
Yep.
So that you're prepared when your guy does get the ball, or you're prepared for help defense. And, you know, how are you reacting to that, where the ball is and where you're positioning yourself? And so I think you got to break them down, offense, defense.
Yeah.
And then, of course, your foul shooting and, of course, your out-of-bounds plays, you know, and how you're working on that. You know, I think all that comes into play to break it down.
Man, and I think it's just good to have an outside perspective, right? I mean, with the defense and the effort, like my high school coach used to say, you're only working hard enough if it looks like it to me, right? So you might think you're working hard, but if it doesn't look to me like you're working hard, then you're not going hard enough, right? And so being able to have an outside perspective, and a lot of people hate watching themselves, right? Because it's kind of awkward, and maybe sometimes you don't look as good as you think you do, right?
Yeah.
And so I think it's good to get that outside perspective. But I also think it's important when we're watching game film to kind of connect that outside perspective to kind of where we were in the game, right? So, for example, if you have like you're coming off a pick and roll, you try and drop a pocket pass to the roller, and it gets a turnover, right? And then you watch on the game film, and you see on the game film it looks like you shouldn't have thrown that pass, right? And it's easy to say, well, if I would have had this angle, then I definitely would have done it, right? So I think you need to be able to connect and be like, okay, so I thought this was open, but when I was in the game, it looked like it was open. So why was it like that, right?
Yeah.
And so connecting kind of how it feels in the game to kind of that outside perspective. Because when you're watching a camera that's 10 feet up on the ground, right, everything looks more open.
Yeah.
Right. And so you have to be able to differentiate between what it actually feels like to play in the game and then to go look at it after and understand how you can apply and intertwine those two perspectives.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I think also when you watch game film, you gotta keep your ego out of it.
Yep.
And I think that's what a lot of people do, is they go into watching game film with an ego. And if you go into a game watching game film with the ego, then you're going to be really disappointed.
Yep.
Because you always look worse on film than what your perception was. You know, your perception's different. And I think you get to see all the times that you stand around.
Yep.
You know, and you don't think you stand around. You think you're constantly moving. And so, you know, I think if you go into it with the attitude, I'm going to watch game film to help myself get better. Because I don't care how good you are, you can always get better.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Right. And so I think you got to have that attitude when you sit down and watch game film.
Yeah. So following up on that, obviously when you watch, you'll kind of see that you're not doing as well as you think you are, right? So how do you avoid getting frustrated or, I guess,
having it be a downer?
Yeah.
And hitting your attitude and making your attitude bad?
Yeah.
Well, I just think, again, if you go into it with a work-through attitude, with an attitude, I'm watching this to get better. And I think if you have that attitude, then I think you're going to be less judgmental on yourself, because you're going to see, okay, I should have done this, or I could have done this. And that stuff registers in your subconscious mind when you watch it on film. And so the stuff that the reactive stuff that happens is always buried into your subconscious mind. And so, you know, you had this happen, Jesse, when you played, that, you know, you did a move that you didn't even think about.
Yep.
Right? And so you're like, wow, that, where'd that come
That's
from?
Cool.
Yeah, where'd that come from? That you don't want anybody else to say, where'd that come from? But
right.
You're saying to yourself, where'd that come from? It's because your preparation was correct. You prepared yourself, put this stuff in your subconscious mind, and then it got pulled out when that moment presented itself.
Yeah.
So I just think it's really important that you have that attitude of, I got to get better. I got to get better at every aspect of this game, and I'm going to be my biggest critic. Right? I think if you have that attitude, I'm going to be my biggest critic and I'm going to fix things, then I think you're going to improve.
Yeah.
Right? I really do. I think you're going into it with the right mindset.
Definitely. And I think, and I've caught myself doing this before, is watching game film and I see all the mistakes I make, right? And I start to think about what other people thought of that, right? They're like, oh, that was a bad play. You shouldn't have done that. And, you know, I'm worried about what they think, especially if you're watching with the team.
Yeah,
right. Everybody's kind of like, that was really bad, and you're wondering what your teammates are thinking, especially if they're wide open and you should have passed it, right? And you're worried about what they're thinking. But I think if you can kind of turn the focus from, this is how I screwed up in this game, to, okay, if instead of shooting this shot, which was kind of a bad shot, if I pass it to the corner, because that guy seems to be open most of the time, if I pass it to the corner, that's another assist next game,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
If I find a couple opportunities to drive in where I normally don't, that's a couple more points next game, right? And think about how it can help you play better and help your team win in the next game, I think, should be more of the focus instead of, I'm just watching this game to think about this game, if that makes sense, right?
Yeah, you're trying to learn what you did in the past to help you in the present and future.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? So you're, and just to make a point on what you made, you're never going to achieve anything or be successful at anything in life if you worry about what other people think.
Yep.
Right? You gotta have that attitude of you want to get better, and you're gonna make mistakes, but remember, just the next sequence of the film, somebody else is going to do something stupid,
yep.
Right? And so they're gonna feel the same way that you feel, right? So don't worry about what other people think.
Yep.
You're just trying to get yourself better. And the other thing I think, Jesse, is the thing that you should be looking for in game film is you should be looking for opportunities of where you can be less selfish.
Yeah.
Right? A lot of kids play, and, you know, I went and watched my nephew play this last year, and he was a strictly spot-up shooter. He never worked on his game other than his three-point shot. And, you know, which is just crazy. But he did train. He did some training with us, but he wouldn't practice. He hardly would practice at all. So he just didn't develop confidence in the other ways of
right.
scoring. So the only thing that he did in games was a spot-up shooter. And it would drive me nuts because he'd be so wide open in the corner or on the wing, and the point guard would come down, and he'd be all selfish, and, you know, he was attacking the basket. Never would kick.
Yeah.
Never would kick. And if I was watching that game film with that kid as the coach, I'd be pointing out every time, look, you could have been less selfish here.
Right.
We only win if we play as a team.
Right.
And the reason that you're driving to the basket and you got those skills, you're really good at it. But one of the reasons you drive is when they converge on you, you're going to kick.
Right.
And you're not kicking. So I think when you're watching game film, you should look for ways that you can be a better teammate, a better team player, both on offense and on defense.
Right. And the funny thing is like if you kick that ball once or twice, then your drives are so much easier, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's not like you have to kick it every time. You're never going to get a chance to shoot.
Exactly.
It's just going to make it easier. So instead of taking 8 shots to make 2 and get 4 points, you can take, you know, 4 shots and make all of them,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's just crazy how in our world today, because of the way kids are raised today, they're raised with a lot of screen time.
Yeah.
They're raised with a lot of me. And so when they play, they end up playing for me instead of for the team. And the thing that I loved about great players is watching them when the time was right, they had to be a little bit more selfish when the game was on the line and they had to have the ball in their hands and they had to score. But all throughout the game, they're getting their teammates involved, right?
Yeah.
And helping their teammates score. So I think that's a big thing to look at. Because I know as a coach, I love unselfish players.
Yeah.
You know, and you can, if the more unselfish you are, the more you're going to score.
Yeah.
And you don't think so, but
right.
You are. You are, because you're going to get more opportunities. And kids are going to give it back to you.
Yep.
Everybody's out there to just get theirs. It's a bad game.
Yeah. And a couple people I think of, well, players in general, if you think of the guys that kind of the first half, they score pretty well, but the third quarter is when they usually, like Steph is an example, Donovan Mitchell does it a lot, right, where their first halves maybe aren't so great, but then third quarter, fourth quarter, they just kind of go nuts, right? I think part of that is they're trying to get everybody involved,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this year's maybe a little different for Steph, but for the most part, he knows he can just get a bunch of shots up and get a lot of points, but he knows it's going to be easier if the rest of his team is scoring as well. And so that first quarter, unless he just starts hitting everything,
yeah,
like he did the other night.
Like feed the beast.
Yeah. He had I think he had like 24, and he was just chucking from half court. I was like, ridiculous. But unless it's a night like that, I feel like he's usually trying to get the rest of his team going. And then third quarter, if they're down or if it's close, then he's like, all right, it's time to –
yeah, I gotta step up, and I gotta be a little bit more selfish right now. But if you're playing and helping everybody, I mean, the one thing I loved about the Warriors when they had all the talent playing at the same time, I loved watching them because the ball moved.
Right.
It just moved until they got an open shot. They didn't care who shot. They just moved the ball, and that was hard to beat and hard to guard.
Right, and I mean Steph and Klay especially, right. Those guys they're guys that most of their shots are off catch and shoot, and so they have to have a good team that's willing to pass the ball. And so part of that is they have to be willing to pass the ball as well, right?
Yeah, I remember a statistic that when Klay scored 60 points, he had 5 dribbles in that game.
And something like that, yeah, 5 or 7.
It was
something
insane.
Like that.
It was an insane number for him to have 60 points.
Yep.
Right? So, yeah, that's a good point. So I think that's when you're talking about game film. I think you look for those kind of things.
Yep.
And like I said, be your own worst critic. And identify, make a list of the things that are kind of player that you want to be. And then as you go through the film, identify how many of those things you did that you want to be. And
right.
How many of those things you did that's going to keep you from being what you want to be. So make a list of those things that are important to you as a player, and then see how many of them you're doing and how many of them you're not doing, and make a little checklist.
Yeah,
right?
For sure. So, again, my high school coach, Chad Sims, I remember one time he told me that watching basketball has kind of been ruined. Like, he can't just watch basketball for fun because now he's watching the plays and how, like, all the other tiny stuff there. Is that kind of the same for you?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I can't watch a game like I used to watch a game,
yeah.
Because I'm always, if I'm watching an NBA game, I'm pausing it.
Yeah.
I'm slow-moing it.
Yep.
I'm slow-moing the shot. I'm slow-moing this. I'm slow-moing that. I mean, it's just like, yeah, it's ruined me.
Yeah, casual fans just watch where the ball goes, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But trainers and coaches who are, like, really into it, they start to watch all the other stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of crazy there. But I think there's a big benefit of watching the NBA and college players, even going to high school games when you're younger. I think there's a big benefit of going and watching other players and kind of watching their film. And again, with the accessibility of technology, it's become an easier thing to do, right? I mean, I don't pay for cable, so I don't get any basketball games, but I can go on YouTube and watch all the highlights.
Yeah.
Right? And I can watch slow-mo versions and people breaking it down, right? So there's plenty of opportunity to go watch these great players. And so what's kind of the benefit of watching better players than you? So we've talked kind of about watching your own film. How about watching other people's film?
Yeah, I think it's important to identify players that you want to play like. You know, you got players out there that have, you know, they're just got, they got high motors. They're always moving. You got players that you want to be able to shoot the ball like. You want to be a playmaker like. So identify what kind of player you want to be. Identify the people that play that way, and then study them. Yeah. You know, every time they play, today in today's world, you can access any game that's being played, and you can watch that game and watch your player. And maybe you have 5 to 10 players that you like. And so it's part of when you study and watch game film. Once again, that stuff's going into your subconscious mind, and it gets stored in there. And so the moves that you make that you say, well, where'd that come from? That's where it's coming from. It's something that you saw that now presents itself. The defense presented itself, and you did that move. So I just think the more you do that, the better you're going to get.
Yeah.
Right? So I think that's important to identify what players you want to play like and then try to emulate them on the court.
One of the cool things I've tried a couple times is, especially with, like, floaters, where we don't have, like, necessarily have a perfect form for floaters because it's such a weird shot that it's kind of everybody does it a little bit different. A lot of times what I like to do is if I can't, like, if their floater's awful and they just can't figure out how to get some good form, right? We try a bunch of different form types and we still can't get it. A lot of times what I like to do is I just say either who has the best floater in the NBA, right? Or who's your favorite player that has a floater? And usually it's like Kyrie or something like that.
Steph, Tony Parker used to
Tony
be
Parker. The... Nobody knows who he is anymore.
Yeah, that's so, right. That's exactly right.
Tony Parker, Derrick Rose,
Rondo,
right? You have all those guys, and I'm like, okay, just pick one of them, right? Mitchell has a really good one now.
Yeah, he does.
So pick one of them, and I want you to just, in your mind, just picture them shooting a floater and go over it about 5-6 times just in your mind right here.
Mm-hmm.
And then on every shot, I just want you to picture that floater and try and do exactly
try
that.
Try to emulate it.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of skills that can be picked up just from having a picture of somebody better and just trying to do the same thing. And you don't even have to think about the form. Right? You just think, I just want my buddy to do exactly that. And a lot of times, instantly, their floater gets better.
Yeah, that's called visionary training.
Yeah.
You know, because you're going to watch it, you're going to have a vision of it, and then you're going to try to duplicate it. So I think that's a really big point of being able to pick those players you want to play like and then visualize how they do it. And then emulate it.
Yeah. And I think, again, we've talked about it a couple times, but our bodies are, like, so cool that it can do so much. Like, even just thinking about how much it takes to shoot a basketball the right way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's pretty incredible that our body can do that over and over again. And so if we kind of just let our body learn like it wants to, we can learn a lot of really cool things.
Yeah.
And so... And I, like, when I was growing up, I did not do, I'm trying to think about it. I didn't do any private training, individual training. I went to camps every summer and then just played, right?
Yeah.
But I did watch a lot of basketball. And I kind of give credit to how good I got, to how much I watched, and then how much I was out in the driveway just trying to, you know, do those same things. You know,
so true. How many games, when you were growing up, how many games a year would you play?
I'm trying to think. I was not a year-round basketball player.
You were seasonal then.
Yeah, until... Yeah, until 10th grade, 9th grade was when I quit baseball because my shoulder hurt. And I quit football because I got bored. But before that, it was just summer camps and then season.
Yeah.
And it was just rec leagues and a couple comp leagues. So I played junior jazz till 8th grade. Okay. I don't know if I told you that.
Yeah.
But anyways, but I spent a lot of time in my driveway.
Yeah,
so
you must have, because that's amazing for you to be a high school player and only play rec till your 8th grade.
Yeah,
you know, that just doesn't happen. You know, you got to be playing comp ball from the time you're 3rd grade, playing twice a week and practicing at least once a week with your team from 3rd grade to through 8th grade to be able to probably make a school team today. And I was the reason I asked you that question, Jesse, is because when I played, I just played rec growing up. There was no comp when I was growing up.
Once a week, Saturdays.
Yeah, we play on Saturdays. And we'd maybe get, in a season, we'd maybe get 12 games.
Yeah.
And then if we won our rec league, then we got to go play in county. And county took in a lot of other rec leagues, right? And so we'd meet in the county tournament, and you'd probably play maybe 3 games.
Yeah.
So maximum games that I played growing up was 15. So we had to be out playing a lot of basketball, one-on-one, two-on-two, three-on-three, you know, working on individual moves and you know, just a lot of individual workouts is where we got our skills was from that kind of stuff. And nowadays, I'll just give you an example. When I coached my kids coming up, because I coached every one of them, and we got to the point where we were playing 100 games a year.
Wow.
And I coached my son and my daughter. My son was an 8th grader. My daughter was a 7th grader. And that year, I coached my son in like 110 games and my daughter in 105 games.
That's crazy.
And so that's just insane compared to that. Now, I think going back and looking at that, that was probably too many games, right? Because they didn't have any time to do individual workouts and work on their game and all that kind of stuff. But that's kind of what people are caught up in. Yeah. So, you know, and I don't – all those games that I took those kids and played in, I don't think we filmed very few of those games.
Yeah.
Which would have been getting us back on filming, which would have been a real big deal if we could have. But we were playing so many games. When did you have time to watch?
Yeah,
you know. But that would have been so helpful if we would have put that into play. So.
Yeah. Man, bringing back a lot of good memories. Did you ever watch the And One stuff?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Boston and I, Boston's my younger brother. We shared a room growing up. And one Christmas, we got an And One basketball hoop. And so it was, I don't know, 5 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
It was tiny. But it came with the video. And so we spent months to a year. Like, that thing was so trash. And it was not very long. It was like a year. It had, like, cool sensors, so it would sense when the ball went in. That was broken in, like, 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Like, it did not last very long. But we just spent so much time watching as much basketball as we could, right? And One. NBA, we'd have our basketball video games, so we'd play those and then go play basketball outside in the cul-de-sac and try and do that stuff. And so, yeah, again, it's really interesting for me to think about my basketball journey as far as, like, I didn't do the private training. I wish I would have. I wish I could have done both. But
I think when you were growing up, I think there was some of that, but there wasn't.
Definitely not as big.
Yeah, it's not as much as what there is today. I mean, it's becoming bigger and bigger.
Yeah, but anyways, that's why, like, I'm such a big fan of So when I have players, I'm like, do you watch basketball very much? And they're like, no. I'm like, well, why not? Like, you know, it's, I mean, yeah, you'll learn playing and playing from your coaches. You'll learn from coaches. But if you want to be like really, really good, you kind of have to live the game a little bit, right? And that doesn't mean you're in the gym 8 hours a day, but always thinking about it and, you know, watching it. And my wife was not a sports watching person before we got married. And so we had to, at the beginning, we had to make a deal that I could only watch basketball 3 days a week. And it was right around Christmas time, so she was allowed to watch Hallmark movies 2 days a week. So we had to make a deal because she didn't understand that. I'm like, whenever there's basketball on, I'm going to be watching it, right? And again, I just credit really that for how good I was able to get. Just watching my favorite players and trying to be like them. And again, 10 years later now, there's, like, if you go on YouTube, you can find tons of videos, like, breaking down each step that a player takes.
Yeah.
And so there's so many resources out there to watch and be able to implement in your own game, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, in other words, there's no excuse.
Yep.
Right? There's no excuses for what's available to you today. Yep. 'Cause you can find anything that you want that's around basketball on YouTube.
Yep.
And you can study, and then emulate, then go out and work on it, right? So it's so important in today's game to do that. It's really, I believe it's not an option.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to be great, you got to be a player. You got to be a player that does that.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of how you build your basketball IQ, right?
Exactly.
Is by watching and then playing and trying things out. And I think, again, there's two sides to it, the actual skills and then the mental side, right?
Yeah.
So I think film is a big part of developing that IQ and that mental side, as far as understanding when to do what and how often you should do this and how often you should do that. And really just helps your decision-making, right? Like you said,
yeah.
The preparation, it's really just preparation for decision-making.
Yeah.
Right.
Preparation for decision-making. That's a great way to put it. My son Jake, it was really amazing to me. He was the youngest in our family, and the older brothers, they, you know, we had video games, of course, and so they were playing all the basketball video games. And so from the age of probably 2 or 3, he started playing video games, basketball video games. And when it came time for him to play, he played his first game, I think, when he was in the first grade. But his basketball knowledge, his basketball IQ was incredible.
Oh, yeah.
For a first grader, you know, because he'd done so much with those video games that it kind of helped him prepare to be able to have good basketball IQ.
Yeah.
Right. So it was a good foundation.
I remember one of Boston's football coaches was like, don't play any video games. Like, don't do that unless it's Madden. Right? And so, I played Madden, and the basketball games were kind of the main ones. There were a couple other ones, but yeah, even just stuff like that, like, you know, just playing the video game can kind of help you. It's obviously not as good as actually physically doing it.
Yeah.
But you know, if it's
moderation in all things,
yeah.
Right? So
yeah.
if you have moderation in the amount of video games you play, and then you mix it with the right amount of going out and practicing and playing, then I think it's a good combination.
Yeah.
But there's kids that's all they do is screen time.
Exactly.
And those are the kids that it just they're just wasting their life, wasting their time. Because it's not going anywhere. It's not doing anything for them. Whatever you're going to spend your time at, you got to ask yourself, what does this do for me?
Yep.
How is this helping me reach my goals? And if it doesn't help you reach your goals, you got to get rid of it.
Yep.
Right? You got to shed yourself from those. Because in our country today, there's a lot of distractions,
yep.
Right? And you can get distracted so easily. So, yeah, I think those things are good things to do in moderation.
Yep. Anything that can help build that, just feel for the game, right? Feel for the game.
Yeah, I had all my grandkids over on Sunday for Mother's Day, and we've got 22 grandkids, and so, you know, the house gets pretty full, and those the kids that are like, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7, they asked me, you know, to put on some video games for them. They wanted to play video games. Yeah. I said, nope, not till it gets dark. It's nice day outside.
Yep.
Get outside. go play outside. But that's what they want to do, you know. So it's all moderation.
It's true. Okay, well, any last thoughts on game film, Kirk, before we wrap up here?
Well, I just think, like we said, I think we've covered a lot of things with game film. I just think that if you're not that person that has been watching any game film, your own game film, get your parents to record it so that you can, you can go home and watch it. Identify your five players that you like the very most, and then go watch them and watch their moves and watch things they do on YouTube. You can pull up every player out there.
Yep.
And they have shot breakdowns, they have move breakdowns, so you can really study that player more than like you ever could before.
Yeah.
So, you know, identify those players and then just watch it, and then get outside and try to emulate it. And the more you do that, the better you're going to get, and the more information you're putting in your subconscious mind so that you can draw on that when it's needed. So I think that those are the important things that are key to you being a great player.
Absolutely. And I think, again, I hadn't thought of that phrase before, but it's really just preparation for decision making.
It is.
Watching film is just preparation for decision making.
I like that statement.
Yeah, I'm going to have to put that up on the
wall
or something.
Yeah, put it on the wall and put your name to it.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's my quote. My claim to fame.
Jesse Armistead.
Anyway, so again, really, really important stuff, watching the game film. Watch your own. Watch NBA players. I echo everything that Kirk just said, his kind of summary there. It can do amazing things to just watch people and try and emulate it. And it's a lot of fun too, right? So really, really good stuff here. And I think, again, with the way technology is now, you can just pull out your phone and film, right? And I know some parents don't like to or aren't good at it because they just start watching the game and forget they're filming,
yeah,
right? And they get some video of the floor.
You're talking about me.
again, like if there's any way you can get that, it's very, very valuable. And we use it a lot in training, right? Because it's, again, just good to have an outside perspective of what it looks like as compared to what you think it looks like.
Yeah, because what you think it looks like in your mind versus what we're seeing is usually two different things.
Yep.
So it's important to see that so you can get on the same page.
Exactly. And just to wrap up here, I want to kind of redo some advice that Kirk said earlier, is to be your own biggest critic, right? Be your biggest critic, but think about how that's going to help you get better in the future.
Yep.
Not how bad you were in the past.
Yep.
So be your own critic, and that's going to help you get better in the future.
Exactly.
Awesome. So we'll wrap it up there. Tune in next week.